Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I think we've got a lot to talk about with our next guest who has, you know, blended in, fit in seamlessly, certainly distinguishes himself, not to infer that he just blends in. That's not what I'm saying at all. But he jumped into our company, and we welcomed him with open arms. He's great. We love him. We've known him for years. He's been a supporter of the show. We've supported him. And we're talking about Charles Davis, who is working this weekend. He's got big games. He's in a big seat with the Birdman in Washburn. Charles, welcome back to the now. Nice to know that big CBS paycheck didn't change how you view the little people, man. I like that, Charles. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. You're awfully kind, and it's great to talk with both of you again. And both of you were very gracious in welcoming me to the CBS Sports family, and I appreciate that very much. And I hope I made that clear. And just wonderful to talk with both of you again during this incredibly crazy time in our world. This feels like something we studied when we were kids in school.
Yeah.
But never thought that we would ever actually face. And
correct.
Here we are.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
No, it so, is. It awesome. Is insane. And Charles, I wonder, because I've done a couple of college games, and one I was down in North Carolina against Syracuse to start the season.
Yeah.
There's no fans. It was so hard to get the feel of the game, right? And I wonder for you, because you've been in multiple places, including last weekend in Pittsburgh, the Pittsburgh-Philadelphia game. You know, what's it like? What's it been like for you to do your job with not a lot of the energy? Some places have fans, but not all of them do. Some of them have none at all. What's it been like for you to call games?
You know, it's a terrific question, and you having sat in that seat and experienced it, I think you understand. So I can't say exactly how you felt, but I think I have a pretty decent idea. Getting to the stadium, I remember the first game we did Baltimore-Cleveland in Baltimore, okay? And there were no fans there for that. That was when the ordinances were still in place. Remember, it was so strict that, remember, Navy opened at home against BYU?
Yeah.
And they wouldn't even do a waiver for the midshipmen
to
come to the game, okay? So that's how strict things were at that time. I remember going to the stadium, and I don't know how you felt, Tiki, but I felt like, is this the right day?
That's exactly right. You just right? walk like, up. Literally. You park right next to the stadium, and you walk in, and there's nothing.
Remember when we were all in college, and you'd wake up, and you'd have that panic, like, did I miss that exam?
Yeah.
Am I late somewhere? Right? Remember those?
Yep.
That's
what
it almost felt like going into the stadium. And then once you got there and you started doing the game, you did the game. But the cues that you normally get as a broadcaster or even as a fan weren't necessarily there, because if you're a fan in the stands and you're knocking down your nachos and you hear a roar, your head snaps up and you locate what's going on. When you're a broadcaster, you might be looking at a note. There might be something that you know, cues you audibly. You didn't have that.
Yeah.
So that was a little bit different. Yeah, and you almost get to the point where you hear – bring your own energy, and it almost becomes a trite expression. But I don't know that there's a more emphatic expression of this NFL season.
That's right.
Then you'd better bring your own energy, or you and your team are going to get jumped on, because it may feel like a scrimmage when we were younger, because, you know, there's no fans there, but it counts. Yeah. The eye in the sky is still there. It's for real.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little bit – it throws you a little bit. But every time we've had games with even minimal numbers of fans, it felt different.
So the last game that you did, now you'll have the Steelers and the Titans coming up, which is going to be great. That's, and we'll get to that in a moment. But you had the Ravens and the Eagles, and Eagle fans are beside themselves again. And I don't really blame them. There's a lot that's eroded with that roster. But I want specific impressions of, you know, just, and I know he's playing tough. In the last couple of weeks, he's played better. But in totality, what you've seen on film, where is Carson Wentz at this point? And obviously, they played the Ravens. Is the passing regression from Lamar Jackson, is that unnecessarily amplified, or do you think that that's accurate?
Well, let's start with Lamar Jackson, okay, Brandon, because what you're seeing with him is a guy who is seeking to get to the next level as a thrower and not just have everything come off of, we're beating you to death in the run game. Every avenue is open for me to throw it.
Well,
right? He and the Ravens in the offseason spent a lot of time saying, okay, we've got to get better at throwing the ball outside the numbers. We got to get better at the deep ball because we're going to have Hollywood back healthy this year. Remember, he played with a pin in his foot all of last year. And last but not least, can we throw the ball when we have to throw the ball as opposed to throwing the ball when we felt like throwing the ball, which was most of last season. So all those things coming into play, watching them play over the last few weeks, guys, I get the sense that they felt like cruise control is not the right word, but they felt like they had things in pretty good order. So let's work on throwing the football as opposed to doing what we did last year. Let's try some of these things. Let's do some of these things. And Evan Washburn pointed it out to me last week. He said to me on a break, because remember, early in our game, I don't know if you saw it, he had one or two batted on a series.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Did you notice where the arm angles went from there?
That's right.
He started looking like a shortstop.
That's right. All sidearm. The touchdown actually was sidearm. We were scrambling to the right. You just kind of juked a little bit and then underhanded it, basically.
That was a sweet play.
Bingo. Beautiful play, right?
Yeah,
beautiful. Those are the plays you expect. But when you're standing in the pocket, you're not always wanting to go sidearm.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he got to the point where they got batted back at him, that he started going more sidearm, and that's been one of the things about him where he gets in troubles when the elbow drops, et cetera. So that's what I see with that. I don't think it's something that can't be corrected, but it's like a golf swing. Until you groove it under pressure, sometimes it regresses when the pressure's there. They're still working on that part with him.
Okay.
With Carson Wentz, I still think that he can be a very nightmare. This sounds stupid. I still think that he's a quality quarterback who can be better than that. But I'm just going to tell you guys, it's going to sound like a ton of excuses, and I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I'm going to sound like the biggest Carson Wentz apologist. But I would just say, put any quarterback in this situation and say, okay, on Sunday, your starting left tackle was playing for the South Sydney Rabbitohs in rugby 3 years ago and didn't know what football was. Your left guard's undrafted out of Stanford. Your center's an all-pro. Your right guard we just picked up from Chicago off the practice squad. This is his fourth NFL team, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And your right tackle is supposed to be Lane Johnson, who's now hurt, so I'm going to start the rookie out of Auburn.
Nice.
Okay, cool. All right. Now, my running back is Miles Sanders, but then he gets dinged in the third quarter, so I'm going to Boston Scott, who was a draft pick, cut by the team that drafted him originally. He's been with us. He's done some nice things, but let's face it, is he the one that you're putting on the scouting report that you're afraid of? No. And, oh, by the way, we did this during the game. I think we counted 12 or 13 receivers / tight ends that have played for Carson Wentz in the last two seasons.
Wow. It's a lot.
And now your go-to guy is Travis Fulgham, sixth-round pick by Detroit, cut. Cut again in training camp, cut by Green Bay. He's your go-to guy. All I'm saying is, I don't care who the quarterback is, good luck getting used to all of that. And everyone keeps screaming, well, when Alshon gets back, well, he hasn't been back since, what, midseason last year?
Yeah, that's right.
When Deshaun gets back, the last great game we saw him play was the opener of last season against Washington. Are we really going to expect a big jump when the two of them get back? He's actually played better with the no-name receivers than he has when they've been on.
So, Charles, bottom line is
it's
this.
It's going to be very weird.
The organization has failed Carson Wentz, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing.
Well, I think the organization has tried to supplement it, but you also have to remember a lot of what we're talking about is because Jason Peters got old. They drafted Andre Dillard. He got hurt. You know,
yeah.
Peters, they moved back to tackle. He got hurt. there's a ton of injuries.
Yeah, I mean, now he's on IR, Jason Peters.
Brandon, the injury list is off the charts. They just lost Zach Ertz and Miles Sanders this week.
Yeah, no.
So when I look at the organization, I don't think that they failed. Could you make a case that maybe instead of drafting Jalen Hurts in the second, you go for some other help? Yes, you can make that case. Can you make the case that is Jalen Reagor the guy you wanted in the first? They like him. Okay, I get all that. Mm-hmm. But they tried to supplement and put things around. But if guys are dinged, the only guy who's made it through has been Kelsey.
I got you.
And that's it on the offensive line.
Fair enough.
Yeah, Charles, now I don't know how you finagled this because you were actually the one team this week. I know Nance and Romo are technically the one team. They have the 49ers in New England. But you have the game.
They're the one team.
You have the game, though. I'm talking about the game. I'm talking about the game. I'm talking about the game that you
–
I'm talking about the game that you have, Charles.
You have
Pittsburgh, Tennessee, two of the three undefeated teams left in the National Football League. Nance and Romo have San Francisco and New England, which will be interesting. But the game that you want to see this weekend is the one that you have. And Tennessee is getting it done old school with Derrick Henry. We talk about, hey, there's no big backs anymore. Running back is devalued. The hell he is. Derrick Henry is unbelievable. I mean, he's in the top three of my MVP right now, just because of the impact that he has. And Pittsburgh, I mean, they might be the best team in football right now.
I'm loving what you just said about Derrick Henry because we keep talking about devaluing and this, that, and everything. Yep. I know a bunch of guys who, if it's iffy, if you make it back the week that you play Derrick Henry, a lot of guys are going to opt for another week. And that's not a knock.
That's a business decision.
Reality, because you go and try and hit 250 like that, it could set you back another month.
Yeah,
that's who this guy is, and we're going to talk about it this week. And this is what I thought of, and I don't know what you guys think, but in that franchise history now, okay, CJ2K, I'm taking out of this argument because of body type.
Mm-hmm.
But it was Earl Campbell, Eddie George, and now this big monster's here.
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about, okay? This is where it's getting historic in what he's doing. He needs more time, right? He needs more years. He needs to keep stacking these seasons together. But he stays on this kind of run. We're talking seriously historic proportions of the best backs we've seen play football. And he catches it out of the backfield a little bit better than anyone would ever give him credit for. And then you flip it over to Pittsburgh. The loss of Devin Bush inside, getting ready for this game. We'll see if Robert Spillane holds up, what they try and do with that. But the beauty of what Pittsburgh has is Tyson Alualu has really come on at the nose.
Mm-hmm.
You add in Cam Hayward, you add in Stephon Tuitt, who's back full force. They've been keeping those linebackers clean and letting them run to the ball and make plays.
Yeah. Well, listen, man. I mean, and Tennessee lost Tyler Lawan, their one of their offensive linemen. Taylor, pardon me.
Now it's Ty Sambrello, who's going to start, I believe, at left tackle. His first play or second play in the game after Lawan gets hurt, J.J. Watt beats him, strip sack, and helps Houston on their comeback. So that's not the same. Because remember Isaiah Wilson, their first-round pick, who was supposed to start at right tackle because of the big – he's been COVID twice,
mm-hmm.
you know, wasn't ready to go.
No.
I don't think that he steps in either. So I think Sambrello plays left tackle. Dennis Kelly plays right tackle. They'll try and keep beating you up. But let's face it, you lose a Lawan, a three-time Pro Bowler. That's a big deal.
No doubt. Well, listen, man, we're thrilled for you. You know, I know we exchange emails and stuff when you got the job.
Have been great to me, both of you, and I really appreciate that, being so welcoming and so nice. And you're right, we're lucky we have a great game. But Tiki said it about the one team I didn't say it, Jim. Tony, we know our spot. We know.
Yeah, how about
are.
That? Well, Romo and Tony got downgraded in the last 30
right?
seconds.
We know our spot. I'm like Avis. All right, I try harder being number two.
Hey, number two is not bad. There's always a chance to eventually go to number one, but number two is a good starting spot. And Birdman, so we have him on all the time.
He's easy to work with, isn't he?
He's great.
He is phenomenal.
Yeah.
No question about it. Evan's phenomenal. I'm lucky to be on this team. I truly am.
That's awesome, man. Great to have you back on the show. Have a great call. Pittsburgh, Tennessee, Sunday, CBS. Thanks a lot, Charles. Keep doing it, man.
Be good, Charles.
Hey, thanks a lot. Best of you two as well. And Tiki, I love the fact you got Derrick Henry so hot in the MVP race.
Man.
He should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.